I would ask you to join me in standing. We're going to read God's Word this morning. We're going to turn to the very first book of the New Testament, Matthew's Gospel. We're going to turn to the 16th chapter. We'll begin reading, and then we'll have a word of prayer because it's all in vain unless the Spirit of the Holy One comes down. Matthew chapter 16 this morning. Matthew chapter 16. We'll begin reading God's Word in verse number 13. Matthew chapter 16. Let's begin our reading in verse number 13. Matthew chapter 16, verse number 13, and the Bible says this. When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And they said, "Some say that thou art John the Baptist." Now remember, John has already been beheaded and is dead and gone home to heaven. So they're thinking that he is John the Baptist resurrected from the dead. Some, Elias. Now Elias is just a translation of the name Elijah. Elijah, the Old Testament prophet that went home to glory in the fiery chariots. And others, Jeremias. Now Jeremias is just another translation of the name Jeremiah, the Old Testament weeping prophet of Jeremiah. Let me just pause for a moment and say, well, why does the Bible say Elias and Jeremias? Why does it just say Elijah and Jeremiah? Well, let me put it to you this way. Some say your name is Joe. Some say your name is Jose. Some say your name is Giuseppe. Do you understand? It's all the same name. It's just translated different language, different way. So that's why it is worded as such. All right? Or one of the prophets, verse 15, he saith unto them, "But whom say ye that I am?" And Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." In verse 17, and Jesus answered and said unto him, "Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven." Now I want to pause for a moment and we'll read on in just a minute. I want you to notice that Jesus confirms what Peter says was not from Peter's head. It was not from Peter's heart. It was from heaven. The Father told Peter, "He's the Son of the living God." And then Peter just blurts it out, "He's the Son of the living God." And Jesus says, "Blessed are you because God told you who I was." But let's keep reading. Verse 18 says, "And I say also unto thee, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church." He didn't say, "You will build my church." He did not say, "We will build your church." He said, Jesus said, "I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." Let's pray together. Let's have a word of prayer. Let's really beg God to be with us, please, because we don't have to feel it, but we have promises that He'll come. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we love You. Lord Jesus, we thank You for the burning and the shining light that Bible Baptist Church is in the county of Cork, the city of Cork, the area of Ballincollig. Lord Jesus, I pray that You bless each and every saved person in this room, each church member in this room today. Lord, I pray that they might choose to whisper prayers, "Speak to my heart, Lord, change me." And then, Lord Jesus, we beseech Thee, first of all, if there is a lost and dying soul today that knows You in their head but not in their heart, that they might trust Thee as Savior. And Father God, we're asking, we're pleading the blood of Jesus against carnal distractions, spiritual distractions. We're asking You to protect these services. We're asking You to uplift and honor Your name. Be the sovereign King in this room, be in control of all things. But pray that we would honor Thee. And Father, we pray You'd be with Pastor O'Keefe and Bible Baptist Church out that way as well. Help the services. Honor Yourself with this new church that You've conceived. And Lord, be at home with Declan and be with Pastor Ledbetter in America as he preaches today. For Jesus' sake, we pray. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. May God bless the reading of His Word this morning. Your theme this month is the word holiness. God says, "Be ye holy, for I am holy." Holiness. If you're going to be a holy person, if you're going to live a holy life, you're going to have some things we call convictions. Convictions. You have got to have convictions. If you're going to be holy, you've got to have some convictions. Now I want to talk to you a little bit about convictions, because convictions are what are going to manifest your holiness in life. What is a conviction? Well, what is the definition in the dictionary? Simply this: the act of convicting the act of proving, now catch the end here, finding or adjudging guilty of an offense. So the first definition of conviction is you find something or someone guilty of an offense. And praise God, you're saved. There was a day when you realized, I'm guilty. I've offended. I have hurt the name of the Lord Jesus. If you don't, no conviction, no conversion. If you just, and I've done this, and I'm guilty of breaking this rule, and I've just done this with children years ago in America a lot of times and things, you just say, now listen kids, pray with me, let's pray together. Dear Jesus, I'm a sinner, I know I'm going to hell, hey man, what's up, how's it going? Oh yeah, right, dear Jesus, I'm a sinner, save myself, yo, what's up, I'll be done in a minute, all right. And then the kid walks away, guess what? That child has not been converted to the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm afraid some adults are that way. We say words and prayers and they don't have real conviction. There has to be conviction of the soul. God, I'm guilty. God, I deserve the punishment. God, I am not saved. You must be convicted that you are guilty and broke God's law and you've sinned against the Holy God. That is the first and foremost important conviction you have, that I'm guilty. Have you found yourself guilty? Maybe there's a friend in here today. Maybe you've come today. Maybe you've come to church many times. Maybe you've never really been convicted of your lost state. And let me challenge you today. The greatest thing that you could do today is ask the Lord Jesus Christ to save your soul. And all the saved would say amen right about there. Amen? Amen. And so praise God. That's a definition, a dictionary definition of conviction. But there's another one that says this. The state of being convinced or convicted. Strong persuasion of belief. Strong persuasion of belief. Especially the state of being convicted of sin or by one's conscience. The state of being convinced, strong persuasion of belief. Can I just throw out a statement here? I am convinced. I am persuaded. I have proved and found with a conviction that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He is the Son of God. Let me take it down the road a little bit more. I am convinced. I am convicted. I have been persuaded and I have proved and found that the King James Bible is the very Word of God. It is the Word of God. It is the perfect Word of God. There are no mistakes. There are no errors. It is the preserved Word of God. Nothing has been added. Nothing has been lost over time, over translation. When you say, I have the Word of God in your hands, it is the Word of God. I am convicted of this. I am persuaded of this. And I'm convinced. And I pray that you are too. So let's talk for a few minutes this morning. What is conviction? Let's make it a little more practical and about conviction. Let's talk about number one. I always like to start with a negative. Amen? Your pastor is pastor positive. I mean, talk about upbeat, on the go, spring in his step, life in action, on the move. You know what? He's Tigger, okay, in the Winnie the Pooh stories. I'm Eeyore. I'm the rabbit. I'm the angry rabbit guy or Eeyore. I start with the negative. All right, so let's get depressed. We'll start with the negative this morning. What a conviction is not. Let me tell you, friends, especially you who've been saved for a long time. A conviction is not a Christian rule. Say it again. Conviction is not a Christian rule. Many years ago, there was a preacher from the state where your pastor's from, Texas. Many years ago, his name was Lester Roloff. Lester Roloff was a pastor of a large church and had a ministry much like an RU home. It was a home for those who were on drugs and alcohol and crime. And he would take men into the men's home and women into the women's home. And he would work with these folks. But he had a lot of rules you had to play by. You weren't allowed to put salt on your food. No sugar in your coffee. Oh, you weren't allowed to have coffee because it had caffeine. No caffeine, no sugar, no salt, no carbonated drinks whatsoever. You weren't allowed to have anything. By the way, you weren't allowed to have pork. I mean, he was stringent on his rules. And he was at a barbecue one time and they said, Brother Roloff, will you ask God to bless the barbecue? And they barbecued pork. And he said, how can I ask God to bless that which he has already cursed? God have mercy. I love Brother Roloff. He's a wonderful man. He's in heaven today with Jesus. And you know what? He knows it's okay to eat pork today. Woo, good eating. I like pork. It's all right. He knows it's okay today. But he had a lot of rules to help a lot of people with a lot of problems that had a lot of dependency. But what I want you to understand, a conviction is not a Christian rule that someone enforces on someone. Second, what else is a conviction? A conviction is not necessarily something that you will die for. Oh, now I've crossed across Christian lines here. Let me say it again. A conviction is not necessarily something that you as a believer and I as a believer would necessarily die for. You say, what do you mean? Well, let's look at the Bible for a few minutes. Why do I say that? Look at chapter 16 and verse number 16 again. Let's look at God's word. Let's see what God says. Verse 16, context. Peter speaking to Jesus in front of the apostles. And Simon Peter answered and said, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Now, look up here for just a minute. Let me define conviction again. The state of being convinced. Would you say amen that Peter was convinced that Jesus was the Son of the living God? Can you say amen if you agree with that? He said it right there. Would you say that he was persuaded that Jesus Christ was the Son of the living God? Amen? All right, absolutely. But a conviction is not necessarily something you die for. You say, why do you say that? We'll go to Matthew chapter 26. Let's turn in our Bibles to Matthew chapter 26. Remember, Peter has a great conviction. His conviction says that Jesus is God. He's the Son of God. He's God the Son. Look at Matthew chapter 26 and verse 56. I was taught when I was a baby Christian, a conviction is something that you will die for. Look at verse 20, chapter 26 and verse number 56. Now look at what God says. But all this was done that the scriptures of the prophets might be fulfilled. Notice it. Then how many disciples? You fill in that next word. Then. Let's do that again. Ready? To get all of us say it. Ready? Then. All the disciples forsook him and fled. And they that had laid hold on Jesus led him away to Caiaphas the high priest. What's happening here? Peter, the man who said, you're Christ, the Son of the living God. You're the one I live for. You're the one I breathe for. My conviction is you are my God. And Peter was not willing to die for what he said a few chapters earlier. He took off in the night. How many of you are convicted that Jesus is the Son of God? Raise your hand. All right. How many of you I'm getting ahead of myself. I want to stay on track for just a minute. So here's a man who had a conviction, but he would not die for a conviction. All right, so what is a conviction? Well, let me give you number one, a Bible conviction. Number one today is simply this, a Bible conviction. Let me give you a statement. I did not believe a certain Bible truth until I saw it in the Bible, and the Bible changed my mind, and now I believe it's true. Let me read that again. I did not believe a certain Bible truth until I saw it in the Bible, and the Bible, through the Holy Spirit, changed my mind, and now I believe it's true. How many of you have had things in your life, you're saved, you're reading the Bible, God begins to speak to you, say, oh, I do that. Because of what I just read, I need to stop. How many of you ever had that besides me? There has to be more than one. All right, a lot of you. A lot. Praise God. Now, another time you're reading the Bible and the Bible says, start doing this because I don't. You're reading a verse and the verse just kind of jumps at you like a pop-up window from the internet. And just the Holy Spirit takes the verse and it jumps off the page and your eyes get big and you say, I don't do this, but the Bible teaches me right here that I should do this. How many of you ever had that happen? The opposite direction. Amen. Now what I'm trying to get you to see is the Holy Spirit convicted you. Amen. You see that? You got conviction from God. Your mind believed a certain thing. You read it in the Bible. The Spirit made it real. And your mind was changed and now you believed it. Now here's the hard question. We've all raised our hands in the survey. How many of you've had your mind changed? You've changed your belief, you had a conviction, and you went back on it. Yeah, right? You weren't willing to live for it, let alone die for it. All right? So sometimes a Bible conviction will come. However, a Bible conviction is not necessarily something that will die for. There are things that I've been convicted about. There are things that God has changed my mind about that have not, I've always been consistent with because I wasn't willing to die for it. So that's a Bible conviction. Let's look at a Bible conviction. Let's go to the book of Acts. Acts chapter 8. Acts chapter 8. Let's look at God's word this morning. Acts chapter 8. We're talking about a Bible conviction, first of all, this morning. Acts chapter 8, verse 36. Acts chapter 8. Forgive me, my Bible's falling apart here. Acts chapter 8, verse number 36. And the Bible says in verse number 36, "And as they went on their way, they came into a certain water, and the eunuch said, 'See, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized?' And Philip said, 'If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest.' And he said, and he answered and said, 'I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God.'" There is a Bible conviction. He said, "What's stopping me from getting baptized? What's stopping me from going into that deep water right there?" He said, "Only one thing and one thing only." He said, "Do you believe with all your heart Jesus Christ is the Son of God?" And he said, "I do." He was changing his conviction. Now what happens is a lot of times we take things and we make them convictions that are not Bible convictions at all. Let me give you a couple of them. I sat with a man from Eastern Europe in his home with three or four other men. We're talking about salvation. We're talking about God. And he looks at me and he says, "Do you believe in eating chocolate Easter eggs?" I said, "Only if I pray over them. Thank you, God, for the chocolate. In Jesus' name, amen." I said, "Why do you ask me that?" He said, "Because Easter eggs represent Ashtaroth, the goddess of fertility, and that is a pagan deity, and you should not eat chocolate Easter eggs because it represents pagan gods." I said, "Please pass the eggs." People have funny ideas about convictions. Another man said to me, "Brother, do you have a bale bush in December in your house?" And I said, "A what?" "A bale bush." I said, "What in the world is a bale bush?" And "Well, they call them a Christmas tree." I said, "Yes. I kneel down and prostrate before it. And I pray under the great tree. Oh, give me presents, give me presents, give me more for me, less for you." Brother, how can you be saved and have a bale bush in your house? These are Christian rules. These are not Bible convictions. And some of them, I'll add, I didn't want to be on tape saying that. Okay? And folks, let me tell you, there are some that are a little more less extreme. We have some dear fine sisters in the Jesus from Eastern Europe, dear fine sisters from Africa in our church. And some of these dear in Christ love God, are wonderful people, and these dear ladies, they like to wear head coverings. One lady will only come if she wears a kerchief on her head. Other lady will only come if she wears a hat, and that's fine. But praise God! But I had a man running around cornering my wife and saying, sister, 1 Corinthians chapter 11 says you must wear a covering on your head, and cornering all the sister. I mean, brand new baby Christian ladies telling them these things, folks. You need to read things in context. And this is what I say to those who choose to wear a head covering. Praise God. That's fine. And I say this to the other sisters who don't want to wear them. Like my wife and my daughter. Praise God. That's fine. Amen? But what I'm trying to get you to see is a conviction is not a Christian rule that somebody makes up. Amen? Yeah. We've got too many Christian rules that people make up and they call them Bible convictions. But that's not necessarily what a Bible conviction is. A Bible conviction is something I read in the Bible. I didn't believe it before. I've changed my mind because I've read the Bible, and now I know it's true. And I'm going to change the way I live according to the Holy Bible. Amen. Can I tell you a little bit more about some other things that were not necessarily a conviction? I went to a church for many years. My wife and I did. And our pastor would tell us, and I did this at our own church, okay? We have four men right now, about four, that will teach the Sunday school classes. I'm one, Declan's one, Bernard's one, and Patrick's one. Now, I look at Declan, I say, "Declan, you own a television?" I said in front of the whole church, he goes, "No, I don't own a television." I looked at Bernard, I said, "Bernard, do you own a television?" He goes, "Yes, I own a television." I said about myself, I said, "Do I have one?" "No, I don't have a television." I said to Patrick, "Patrick, do you have a television?" He goes, "Yes, I have a television." So we had two that own television, two that don't own television. However, all four of us teach Sunday school and teach the Word of God. But there are some people in the church that we were in many years ago, we were told if you owned a television in any way, shape, or form, you were full of the devil. You couldn't teach. You can't sing in the choir. You can't be a deacon. You can't be an usher. You can't even lead in silent prayer. Think about that for a minute. You're not, if you own a television, you're not allowed to do that. Because people get very strange ideas of what the Bible says and what the Bible doesn't say, but we need to get back to what the Bible says. And everyone run around, they say this, brother, they'd say this. Well, you know, pastor says you can't have a television. And pastor says you can't eat chocolate eggs. And pastor says you're not allowed to have a bale bush. Pastor says all the ladies must have a kerchief on their head. But you know what? What's the problem with that? The pastor says, and the pastor says, and the pastor says, and the pastor says, and the pastor says. My brother back here is laughing because you know some men like that, right? There's a lot of men like that. Folks, let's get back to doing this. Bible Baptist Church, and the Bible says, and the Bible says, and the Bible says, and the Bible says, and the Bible says. Get back to what God says. Get back to the convictions from the Scriptures. Don't force them on other people. Let me give you one for me personally. I'll split my home right down the middle. I don't play with playing cards. I can shuffle good. I can do all that. I don't play with playing cards. Now, hang on. Some of you may be like me. You don't play with playing cards. My wife will sit down and play like, it's not Uno, but it's the other game but you play with playing cards, you play Uno. I'm not going to speak to her for 6 months just because she plays a game. Now, she's not taken, and you say, well, Pastor, then why don't you play with playing cards? Let me tell you why. Because, you see, when I see a deck of cards, do you know what that says? That says the old Jerome. That says the whiskey drinking Jerome. That says the guy who lost his whole paycheck in an hour Jerome. That says the old life, the old ways. And to me, it's like it reminds me too much, and I just, you know what? So I don't want that, but what the Lord has given me is that's kind of like a spiritual personal conviction. But to her, that doesn't mean a thing. It means nothing to my wife. You say, well, what are you trying to say? Is it right or wrong? I'm saying you need to go to God. You need to go to God. So there's biblical convictions, black and white, get saved. Can I get an amen right there? All right? Black and white, after you're saved, get baptized. Amen? After you get baptized, join the church. After you join the church, get discipled. Grow deep, rooted and grounded in truth, the Bible says. But it also says rooted and grounded in love. We need both. Amen? And so we need Bible convictions, but then there's a spiritual conviction. How the Holy Spirit deals with us about certain things that are neither right or wrong, that which is clearly not laid out in the Bible. Let's turn to Acts chapter 16. Acts chapter 16. The Holy Spirit should be leading you, but I'm putting these in a priority order. Number one is your Bible conviction, black and white. Ye must be born again. What does it mean from being baptized? Believe. And they that were gladly added to the church were baptized. All right, those things are black and white Bible convictions. But what about spiritual things? What about things that are not laid so clearly in the Bible? Let's look at Acts chapter 16. Acts chapter 16, let me read you verses 6 and 7. Now, when they had gone throughout Phrygia and the region of Galatia and were, I want you to say that next word, and were. Let's do that again. I want everyone to say that. Let's say that word together. And were?
Forbidden.
They were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word, that's the Bible, the word in Asia. And after they were come to Mysia, they assuaged to go to Bithynia, but the Spirit suffered them not. Now notice it. Here's Paul. He's saying, I want to go to Asia. Is there anything wrong with wanting to preach to the Chinese back 2,000 years ago? Is there anything wrong with preaching in Japan? No. Is there anything wrong with preaching in Korea? No. Is there anything wrong with preaching to the Filipinos? No. Paul's desire was to go into Asia. But the Spirit said, I don't want you going east right now. I want you going west. So there's a spiritual conviction that has come from God, from Paul. But it's not wrong to preach the gospel because we know Jesus said, go into all the world and preach the gospel. But this was a personal conviction that he needed to follow the Holy Spirit at this time. And the Spirit was leading him to go a different direction. Now, Look at what the Bible says. And after they were gone to Masaya, they essayed to go to Bithynia. So now Paul wants to go to the city of Bithynia. And the Bible says, but the Spirit, the capital S, the Spirit, suffered them not. So they wanted to go to one city, and God led them to a completely different city. Folks, I don't personally believe God cares if I have a blue car and you have a black car and she has a red car. But I do think we ought to pray about everything. I do think we ought to ask Him, Lord, do you want me to live in Cork? Do you want me to live in Dublin? Do you want me to live in Belfast, Limerick, Galway? Lord, would you lead me, Holy Spirit? It's not laid out in the Scriptures. I need to know where you want me to be. I need to know what you want me to do with my life. And God, I know the basics are in the Bible and it's laid out in black and white, but there's things I need you to spiritually lead. Hey, it's not written in the Bible, thou shalt marry John, Ruth, right? But, there are things laid out in the Bible. You don't marry an unbeliever. You don't marry someone that isn't convicted about church baptism, church growth, discipleship, walk. How can two walk together except they be agreed? Amen? Yep. You have to ask God to spiritually lead you. Hey, there's good, there's better, and then there's the perfect will of God. And you want God's blessing when you have to make these decisions that are not laid out in the Scriptures. That's called a spiritual conviction. Paul says, picture Paul. Oh, I want to go east. I want to preach to the billions of people in Cathay, of course, we call it China today. I want to go to India. I want to go to Japan. I want to go to Korea. But the Spirit says, Paul, no. Yeah, but the Bible said, Jesus said, go into all the world and preach. No, Paul. Holy Spirit saying, no, you need to go to Europe. Aren't you glad? Amen. Praise God. I'm excited. It's great. We're sitting here today. All went to Europe and preached the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. Praise God for a man who will listen to the Holy Spirit. Oh, Brother Dan, Pastor Craig, I love the King James Bible. I love the Bible Baptist Church until somebody makes me mad. And then the Holy Spirit's leading me to the jump around church. The Holy Spirit is leading me to the false gifts church. The Holy Spirit is leading me because, you know why? Because they have emotional experiences and you people just don't cry in church without me. Oh, come on, I'm serious. There is a therapy. People go, you say, I go to church and I have emotional experience. Hey, God is emotional God. God is a God that angers. God is a God that is sorrowful and saddened. God is a God of joy and rejoicing. We are emotional because He is emotional. I believe that. But I don't base where I go or what I do on how it makes me feel. Are you with me? Can you say amen or not? I base on where I fellowship and where I hear from what the book says. So priority one is your biblical convictions. Priority two is the Holy Spirit's conviction of you, where He'd have you to go and what He'd have you to do. You understand? I'm not going to church for an emotional therapeutic session. I'm going to get my soul fed. I'm trying to get this person clean. I need a scrubbing every Sunday, amen? And so praise God for Bible preaching. I don't want to go where people have told, oh, you're not saved. Why? Because you don't participate in certain Holy Ghost activities and gifts from heaven. Oh, yes, I do. You ready to give me a hand? All right, come on up here. You ready? Here we go. We're going to have emotional Holy Spirit. Ready? Ready? The Bible is the Word of God. You know what to do.
What?
Tell them what it...
Oh.
Go on.
Oh.
Can you? Can you say that? It normally helps me out. It's all right. So, the Bible is the Word of God. Okay? Can you do that?
No?
Not today? Okay. You're healed. Go. So, all right, I was going to have him help me out, but he's too gun-shy today. That's all right. And so, there is Bible convictions, there is Holy Spirit convictions, and that's when the Spirit will lead you and guide you into all truth. And He will. Well, I prayed about it, and you know what? It was my conviction to be in a good church, but now, you know what? Pastor made me angry. Pastor Aiden made me angry, and so the Holy Spirit said, leave. I got a whole bunch of those people. I'm telling you. And they're standing there at other places, and I'm not saying any group specifically. It could be even a good church that believes just like this one. They're standing there with their arms wide. Aw, come here. I know. He's so mean. I know. Oh, it's desperate what he does. Come sit here and put your money in our plate. And you'll be grand. Right? That's how it seems to go. But that's, you see, what happens is people allow feelings and emotions and maybe a bad experience to take their convictions that they were willing to die for and throw them away. Let's you and I nail down what we believe in our convictions and let's stand true to the Word of God. Let's be faithful to the leading of the Spirit of God because He will not lead me against the Bible. He will not lead me against the Word of God. But there's a third kind of a conviction. This is called a natural conviction. I want to talk to you for a few minutes. I kind of touched on this in a different area. Go to 1 Corinthians 11. 1 Corinthians 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 14. 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 14. Now, this is what we call a natural conviction. Just, it's nature. It's natural. Okay. Doth not even nature itself teach you that if, conditional, if a man have long hair, it is a shame. I want you to notice it says shame. Shame unto him. But if a woman have long hair, it is a glory to her. For her hair is given her for a covering. So that goes back to the man who was telling all the ladies to put kerchiefs on. That's fine if you want to wear a hat. That's fine if you want to wear a kerchief. Praise God for that. There's no problem in the Bible with that. But the Bible says that her hair is given to her for a covering. Now, no man needs the Holy Spirit to tell him that it's wrong to have very, very, very long hair. And there's nobody in here, there's no brothers in here that I would say it offensive in any way, shape, or form. Remember, the key is that is written to a saved person, not to a lost person. And so when a guy from a rock band comes into church and he's got hair down to here, you don't need to run up and shake the boots out of him, you know, and grab him and say, what are you doing? Don't you know you're supposed to? It's a shame to have long hair. Hey, if you had met me before I was a Christian, I had long hair down to here, over my ears, like this in the front. Sometimes it was in a braid, sometimes in a ponytail, sometimes it was just hanging down, you know, anyway. But you know what? I started coming in and no one ever said to me, chop your hair, chop your hair, chop your hair. No one ever did that to me. But you know what? I read the Bible. My eyes saw it. I didn't believe it before. I saw it in the Bible and the Holy Spirit convicted me and changed me. See the difference between beaten down in rules and letting the Word of God make you. Friends, convictions will lead you to holiness. That's where we're going with the whole conviction thing. Say, well, pastor says this and pastor says that. Let God teach you. Let God lead you. God will show you. He is good. Natural convictions are there. You say, why does God want the man to have short hair and long hair? I'm not really preaching about hair today. Because God likes boys to look like boys and girls to look like girls. That's all. God likes a boy to look like a boy and a girl to look like a girl and a man to look like a man and a woman to look like a woman. He likes distinction. And so the Holy Spirit will lead you. And you know what? I saw boys with haircuts like my son at church when I first got saved. And I kept looking thinking, something just was turning inside. You ever get that uncomfortable feeling when you're in church or here preaching, you kind of get squirmy? Hey, don't always say that's bad. Sometimes that's just the Lord working on you. Amen? And be glad He works on you. Be glad He speaks to you. And you know, if you always, I know your pastor, and your pastor's a Bible preacher. I know if you can go to church, now there's times we need to just relax and enjoy God and get a blessing from God, but then there's sometimes you start going, He's talking about something. Talking about something I know I should do and I don't do. He's talking about something I should be. You start going like this inside. Everybody's looking at me. Everybody feels it. Hey, just take that's the Holy Spirit's conviction. I don't know any of you. If it bothers you and a stranger speaks to you, just take that. That's from the Lord Jesus. Amen. Convictions will lead you to change and change will lead you to holiness for God. And so there's Bible convictions. There's Holy Spirit spiritual convictions and the two will never conflict. And then there's natural convictions. A man should look like a man. Woman should look like a woman. God wants distinction because it honors God and that's the way He made it. But there's a fourth conviction. It's called an intellectual conviction. And this is the one you don't want. This is the one of the world do-gooder people. These are the people that do a lot of good things, and I'm for these things. Feed the hungry. I'm for it. Clothe the naked. I'm for it. God's for it. But that's as far as they go, and they never say, preach the gospel. Tell the lost there really is a burning hell. Get a soul saved. Sit down and share Christ. They skip that, and everybody sees them feed the poor, clothe the naked, and they say, what a wonderful person there. That's an intellectual conviction. Let's go to John's Gospel. We'll finish up this morning in John's Gospel. John's Gospel, chapter 12. I just broke the law of preaching. You never say that because people start to go, oh, good. And so, John's Gospel, chapter 12. Let's look at verses 4 and 5. I want to show you a head conviction, not a heart, not a soul conviction. Let's look at this morning. On chapter 12, verses 4 and 5, and the Bible says this. Then saith one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, which should betray him. Look at the self-righteous conviction. Why was not this ointment sold for 300 pence and given to the poor? Verse 6. This he said, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief and he had a bag and bare what was put therein. Now let me talk to you for just a minute. That sounds pretty spiritual. I believe in feeding the starving around the world. I believe in clothing the bare and the naked around the world that have great need in third world settings. I believe in this. I believe God believes in this. It's a good thing. But his was a self-righteous justification to cover his wickedness. He was a devil. He was a man in church 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. He was a man that preached, Jesus is the Son of David, Christ the Anointed. He probably, and I believe he did personally, he probably performed miracles just like the other 11. But the Bible says that Judas was a devil. He had intellectual conviction until it wasn't convenient, and then he exposed himself for what he really, really, really was. Let's make sure that our convictions are Bible-based, Spirit-led, make good common horse sense, and they're natural. Let's make sure that our belief is not in our head. Let's make sure our belief is from the Word in our souls, in our heart. But the first thing I want to say, and I promise you, brother, I'm done. Here we go. This is the most important thing of all. I pray to God right now with all my heart while I'm speaking at the same time. See, I can multitask. I told you. I'm praying and preaching at the same time. I am asking the Lord, if you're not convinced and persuaded and convicted that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and that He can save your soul, I'm praying that the Spirit will convict you of that today. Will you let the Lord save you? You say, Pastor Pittman, you're talking to me. Somebody told you, Brother Dan told you I'm not saved. We never, as God is my witness and Brother Dan is my second witness, we never discussed whether anyone in this room is saved or lost. Not a bit. But if you're not saved today, be sure that you know, that you know, that you know, that you know that ye are born again. Born again. Because God is a great God, and the Christian life is the only life. Let Jesus save your soul. Christians, you say, I know I'm not going to hell, but I don't have a lot of convictions that will make me holy. Let's take some time and get some biblical convictions and changes. And I'm going to have a word of prayer, and I'm going to turn the service over to yourself. Okay, let's just have a word of prayer. And as God leads the men in your church, praise God for the men, let's pray. Father, thank you for the opportunity to be here this morning. Thank you to be able to preach at Bible Baptist Church. Be with them this morning. Thank you for them, Lord. The Holy Spirit, I can't help over there right now. All I can ask you to do is please, please, if there's someone that needs to be saved, don't let them be afraid. Don't let them be embarrassed. Don't let them die a Judas's death. Let them be saved today. It's the most wonderful thing that can happen. Lord, I'm thankful you let me be a part of Eli's life. I pray that maybe today I could be a part of someone else's life in this room today, that they would say, I'm ready to get saved after church. And if Christians need to make decisions, may they make them as Brother Dan leads in closing this morning.